Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 99, season number 4 of the Still City Insider podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jeremy Ritz, but you're not here to see me. You're here for the insider himself, Jim Wexel. Jim, how are you today?
We're all here to see you, Jeremy. Come on. I'm just the old guy that went to the Indy Combine.
And you're still there, right? Getting ready to leave?
No, I'm in a hotel room on my way to Atlanta, Georgia, to my brother-in-law's funeral.
Okay. Sorry to hear about that. I know we talked before you came on, but you were just in the Combine in Indy, got back probably this weekend, and that's what today's episode is all about. The Combine, it's in the books. Now we can start talking about pro days. So I got a ton of questions to come your way here, Jim. But let's start. Who are the potential Steelers out there and your thoughts on round one after your excursion to Indy?
I tell you what, my phone's ringing now, but my thoughts on round one, you know, it was center going in. Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier, even Graham Barton. And I couldn't help, and this is a column I wrote, urging people not to get too happy about drafting a tackle in the first round. I don't see it happening because they have their two tackles. They need a number three, and I doubt they want a first round pick to sit the bench. But I tell you what, after those tackles came through, it's like, I got to get me one of them. You know, Amarius Mims, you know, and I wrote this, when Pouncey came in 2010, they asked him the next year, any of their old teammates, and he said Marcus Gilbert. So they drafted Marcus Gilbert. And Ramon Foster said, Broderick Jones has to do the same thing. Get a running buddy and start building your new line around you, just like Pouncey did. And he said, you got to meet Pouncey is what you got to do. So Broderick Jones played with Amarius Mims. They won a championship game together. And Mims was just like Broderick, working at left tackle. Then all of a sudden the coaches put him at right tackle and he did well. And that's, I think Broderick was the opposite of that. His first starting assignment at Georgia, he was right tackle and then they moved him left. But Broderick said that those coaches are adamant that you learn both sides. And so Broderick didn't have any problem with right or left. And Mims says he doesn't either. Mims is like 6'7" and a half, 340, ran a 5.07. The tape that I've watched on him is good, but he has limited snaps. I mean, this monster, 6'7", 340, who can run. He had a 4.33 shuttle time. Yeah. And he's jumping. He's doing long 36-inch arms. He is a classic blue chipper who, if he had more snaps at Georgia, could be a top 10 guy. But there are top 10 tackles already. So Mims could fall. I mean, you get a guy like that, and then you have your excuse to sit him because he has such limited experience in college ball. So it's understood that he still needs to learn. But he can play both sides, so he can be an ideal swing guy. It's a deep tackle crop, and my point was you can get one in the second round, a third round, a good guy, and that's the guy you use as your number two in Dan Moore's last year of his contract. But wow, I was just knocked out, and it wasn't just Mims. It was Tyler Guyton. I even talked to Christian Jones. He gave me a Wayne Gandy vibe, which Wayne, if you talk to him, you'd say, man, this guy's soft. But then he played well. And Christian Jones didn't have that aggressive, you know, some of these guys like J.C. Lathan from, I hope I pronounce that right, from Alabama, right tackle, was a defensive end when he came to Alabama and still has that kind of aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. And you love that in offensive linemen, but they're not always like that because they're the thinkers, they're the receivers, they're the absorbers. They're different animals. But some of these offensive linemen are former defensive linemen, and they're nasty. And so Christian Jones didn't give that nasty vibe. I mean, he seems like a real nice guy, but Wayne Gandy was too, and he was a very good left tackle. And Christian Jones is another massive guy from Texas. I don't think he's a first rounder, but I mean, Guyton Latham, and then there's two monstrous Samoans. I shouldn't say Samoan, Polynesians, because they could be Tongan too. I think they want to get themselves one of these guys will be foundational pieces. Mims is even bigger than Marcus Gilbert. When he talked, Marcus Gilbert had a real deep voice. It was, his dad was a bodyguard for Obama. So his dad was a bad dude. And Pounce used to say, man, there was only one guy I was afraid of when I would go over to Gilbert's house, his dad. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy Mims, real low voice, good natured. Marcus was good natured, but just looks like a cornerstone future right tackle for the next decade. I'd say move Broderick Jones over. So that's my thinking in the first round, because I tell you, interviewing the centers didn't impress me all that much. Mm-hmm. I was impressed by Barton. He struck me as Dave DeCastro without the snarl. You know, Dave was nasty. He was really smart. And once Dave relaxed around us, he talked to us like Barton was talking to us, highly intelligent. And you really would like that in the center. It's a difficult position for a rookie. So that guy interests me. And it's funny that he's the one the Steelers met with there. He didn't meet with the Oregon center or the West Virginia center.
Yeah, well, typically you see the centers go later in that first round, like down in the 30s or even the second round. So that could be a possibility that they pick one up later. But I feel like I'm having deja vu, Jim, because last year you, and I'm going to quote you, and I remember this, it just popped in my head, you had a tackle itch. And it sounds like you have a tackle itch again this year. It's a deep class. So
I do. And I was the one, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, right? Don't get all excited about tackle. I don't think they're going there in the first round. But wow. You know, you can get your center. There are some good. I talked to the Georgia center. I asked him, I said, hey, Steelers seem to be rebuilding the Georgia line in their own image. And, what would it be like to play between offensive linemen like Broderick Jones and Darnell Washington? And he started laughing. And I thought, what's this guy going to make fun of me? And he goes, it's funny you call Darnell offensive lineman, but he is. And I'm like, yeah. And I said, you know, he said he would love that. That would really help chemistry. And Cedric, that's your guy. How do you say that last name? Von Prawn?
Von Prawn. Yeah. Something crazy.
But he was a 3-year starter at Georgia. I mean, Mims nor Broderick were 3-year starters at Georgia. And so this guy's a 3-year starter at Georgia, was all SEC. Just tape looks fine, looks good. And so if you can get him second round, maybe third round, boy, that would be ideal. You know, you could wait for maybe Frazier in the second round. It gives you more confidence to wait into the second round. I could be wrong about Powers Johnson. Someone told me that his shotgun snapping is very erratic, and they can't see the Steelers after putting up with what they put up with last year, putting up with it again. And I asked him about it. He goes, yeah, I was a little erratic, but I'm not perfect. You know, that's something I can work on. So he confirmed it. I really haven't watched much tape on him, but I was more struck by the tackles were more impressive to interview. And I have a good sense. I have a good intuition for these guys doing this for as long as I have and interviewing pro tackles. And their tape looks good too. So I'm thinking tackle. I don't know if Von Prawn's a second rounder. If Chris Jenkins is there, the defensive lineman from Michigan, supremely athletic. He's on Bruce Feldman's freak list. And his times, I forget them right now, but he exceeded everyone's expectations, did just as well, not exceeded, just did just as well as everybody expected. And he really impressed me, his intelligence and his demeanor, real team-oriented guy. He just kept talking about team and how he'll do the dirty work. He did the dirty work for Michigan while the other guys got all the glory. And then the tape supports that. So Chris Jenkins, if he's there in the second round, you get your defensive lineman. So now you've got, say you get Mims in the first round and Jenkins in the second round. Now you've got two more foundational pieces. And it's not like you're just drafting foundational pieces just to have that as your identity and style. They're needed. They're needed. So might as well get some really good ones. I mean, Chris Jenkins learning under Cam Hayward and then lining up next to Keanu Benton. Smart thinking. And then if you can get Von Prahn in the third round, then you've got four Georgia offensive linemen cutting Darnell Washington. I could just see Tomlin. I could just see Tomlin go like that.
It's the University of Georgia North. And, you know, it's a cliche, but it is true. The game is won and lost in the trenches. So adding that tackle position and, you know, that connection, Georgia connection there. And if you're able to pick up that defensive lineman there in the second round, you grab your center in the third round, I'll take it. But I'm making a note here to study these Georgia prospects, Jim. Shifting gears a tiny bit, there's been a little speculation about a potential trade of veteran Deontay Johnson. So does that bring up some interest that the Steelers might be looking for a wide receiver in round number one?
Yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in the rumors these days. I mean, these years, the way the internet's just gone absolutely loopy. I don't see Justin Fields coming here. I really don't see them trading Deontay Johnson because then they would have to draft a receiver in the first round. It's a team that needs foundational pieces. Let's just suffer with Kenny Pickett, his third year. Let's go with Deontay Johnson, see if they get their acts together while you're building a real foundation, which you should have started doing before you drafted your running back, which in retrospect, you know, I'm probably a little more excited about Najee Harris than I am now or should be. But get that foundation in place and then all rolls downhill from there.
Yeah. All right. So no wide receiver on the board there for first round. What about some of the other positions? Cornerback?
Well, I saw a mock draft from Pro Football Focus this morning that had Quinyon Mitchell falling to 20. And that's possible. There's a guy that makes me, you know, he's a foundational corner and just as expensive as tackles these days in free agency. Quinyon Mitchell ran a 4.33, and I interviewed him, and he's got the size and the demeanor. He's got long arms. You know, I interviewed Nate Wiggins right before him, and Nate ran a 4.27 as he expected. But he also weighed 173 pounds and looked that skinny. Quinyon Mitchell came to the podium after him. I don't want to say rocked up like, you know, linebackers we've seen, but thick and long arms and a real cocky demeanor, but not overly cocky. He was very loyal to Toledo, for instance. He wouldn't transfer. When everybody started realizing what a star he was, he said, "Hey, these are the only guys that stuck with me after I had some great problems coming out." He came out in Florida as a high school guy. So he stuck with Toledo, and I like that loyalty, you know, in this day of transfer portals. I really like that. So if Quinyon Mitchell falls to 20, I don't know, because he seems like a top 10 guy to me. He seems like a Rod Woodson type to me. So if he does fall to 20, and if there are six quarterbacks that go that early, they're going to push somebody, some superior talent down to 20.
Yeah. And that's something that I noticed too, in just some of these initial mock drafts that have been put out there, and especially some that have come out post combine. It's a very heavy quarterback crop at the top. And you're right, that's going to push great value down the board. So Steelers could be in a position to land a great player. Now, speaking of quarterback, there's no chance this team is going to take one in round one, right?
Quarterback? Yes. Well, I didn't rule it out. I talked to Bo Nix. I thought that was one guy that would be worthy of, if he slipped to 20. His stock seems to be going up. Bo Nix impressed me in the interview. I liked what I saw. I've come around on him. Son of a former quarterback, Patrick Nix. 6 years. He has more quarterback starts than anybody in college football history. Wow. You know, with the COVID year, some of these guys are 6-year players, and he is one of them. And that's a good thing to come into the NFL camp with 61 career starts. So that guy kind of interests me, kind of.
Yeah.
And Spencer Rattler, I talked to, real talented guy who was considered number one at one year's draft. And then his stock plummeted. He lost his job to Caleb Williams at Oklahoma and transferred to South Carolina. A lot of tools. I interviewed him, wasn't as impressed with him as I was Bo Nix, but I mean, this is again all judging a book by its cover. So, but I don't know about Spencer Rattler in round two, but that's a possibility.
Okay. And then any other positions jump out to you through your interviews? I know you did a lot of talking to prospects. You know, anything else jump out that we didn't cover today?
Well, I was a little disappointed that Zach Frazier seemed put off by the talk of going to Pittsburgh. And he's from Fairmont, which is pretty close in West Virginia. He just seemed like, you know, if you get into college fandom, there are West Virginia people that just despise Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to think he might be from Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh is the capital of Appalachia. It's Paris of Appalachia. And I think sometimes West Virginians, some of them might have a little, not jealousy, but a little put off by that attitude among Pittsburgh people, because we're the same. And so if we think we're elite, then that rubs them raw. And so I think that is taken out in the college rivalry. And I just got a feeling that this guy didn't really like Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. That's just my hunch. He said he was a Miami Dolphins fan. He was named after Zach Thomas. It's why he wears number 54. Didn't seem to, knowing that the Steelers have a great center tradition and need a center now, didn't seem to faze him. And I tell you, he was so late because of his medicals. He was so late to the combine. The cleaning crew was trying to push us around. But he was only talking to guys from Pittsburgh and a couple others, but it was mainly like 8 out of the 10 people were from Pittsburgh. So he wasn't like shutting off the rest of the league by talking about a team. It was, talking to Pittsburgh guys about Pittsburgh, and he didn't seem interested in that. So I was a little disappointed in that, 'cause I thought he'd just be a barrel of loyalty and excitement to play for the Steelers and grab that center position. It's been such a honored traditional position.
Well, we don't want him. That's it. We don't want him now.
Well, hey, I'm just speaking for
striking,
what
I'm sorry. If it's a list,
I'm not crossing him off my list, but I like Graham Barton. Graham Barton gave me the vibe of a first round Pro Bowl type. But also he's not nearly as big as those other two, Frazier and Power Johnson. He's not as thick. He has long arms, and he's 6'3", maybe 6'4". So it's interesting, but, you know, those tackles were just superior beings. The New York Giants used to have a theory called the planet theory. There are only so many men this big who can move this well, and you got to have them. And planet theory worked to a couple Super Bowls for them. Matter of fact, planet theory is what gave the Steelers Dermonti Dawson. Ron Erhart, when he was a coordinator for the Giants back for Bill Parcells, just loved Dermonti Dawson in the second round. And the Giants drafted a monstrous tackle in the first round. And the second round comes around, and Dermonti thought he was going to the Giants because Erhart loved him so much. But they drafted another massive tackle. And then Erhart came to Pittsburgh, and he told Dermonti, "Man, I wanted you so bad, but they had to get the biggest guys on the planet. So we didn't get you, and I'm glad to coach you now." And Dermonti was incredible, of course. So other players, you know, there's a wide receiver from Virginia interests me, Malik Washington. I really liked his toughness. Struck me as a Hines Ward type, even though he's 5'8", real tough slot guy. There are some running backs that impressed me as, you know, in the late rounds. If one of those guys, I talked to four of them and gave the points about all of them. Very interesting guys to being a number three running back. I talked to a bunch of offensive linemen. I have other nuggets that are going to be used for future stories that I can't recall right now. I'd give them to you, but I'm, you know.
Well, I think you've
been moving a lot. My brother-in-law died on the last day of the combine, and I got the call while I was there. So I struggled through that last day, and some nice things happened, and some people were very, very kind. And you never forget that kind of stuff. And so that last day, I got through it, and now we're on our way to Atlanta. I'm with my dad now, and my daughter's in the other room. So it's been a hectic time, and I hope I was I hope I made sense about the draft plan that I've come up with at this point.
I think you did that and more, Jim. And I think you gave a lot of thoughtful information to the viewers out there. You know, I'm sure I speak on behalf of all the readers and viewers. You know, our deepest condolences and sympathies to you and your family. You know,
he was, just to talk about Mark, he was a deputy director of the FBI under James Comey. This is a national event. Comey's going to be there. Christopher Wray's going to speak. It's a national event. And we're the family from the other side of the tracks. You know, we're coming down there. How do we fit into this? Do we get a police FBI escort? It's a big day coming up. So thanks for allowing me to get this out of the way and done. And hopefully it turns into a good podcast.
All right, Jim. Well, I think that's a good spot to close this out. You can check out Jim's work at the Still City Insider. Give him a follow on X at Jim Wexel. And we'll see you back here next week is episode 100, Jim. So I will see you then.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care.